The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth Canto, Chapter number 27, Text number 18, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 24th, 2010, in Sydney, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter number 27, Attack by Chandadega on the City of Varanjana. Om, text 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sa
Eva
Puryam
Madhubuk
Panchadeshuva
Parashadai
Upanitam
Balim
Grinam
Strijitaha
Na Avidat
Hayam
Sa Eva Puryam Madhubuk
Sa Eva Puryam Madhubuk
Panchadeshu Svaparshadai
Panchadeshu Svaparshadai
Upanitam Balingrinam
Upanitam Balingrinam
Srijito Navidadbhayam
Srijito Navidadbhayam
Sa Eva Puryam Madhubuk
Saheva Puryam Madhubhu
Panchaleshu Svaparshadhai
Panchaleshu Svaparshadhai
Upanitam Valingrinam
Upanitam Valingrinam
Srijita Navidadbhayam
Srijita Navidadbhayam
Saha
Hi
Eva
Eva
Certainly
Puryam
within the city,
Madhubuk,
enjoying sex life, Panchaleshu,
in the kingdom of
Panchala,
five sense objects,
Saparshadai,
along with his followers.
Upanitam
brought
Balim
taxes
Grinam
accepting
Srijitaha
conquered by women
did not
Avidat
understand.
Bhayam
fear of death. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. King Puranjana collected taxes in the city known as Panchala and thus was able to engage in sexual indulgence. Being completely under the control of women, he could not understand that his life was passing away and that he was reaching the point of death. Purport. Government men, including kings, presidents, secretaries, and ministers, are in a position to utilize taxes collected from the citizens for sense gratification. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in this Kali Yuga, government men, Rajanyas, and those connected with the government, as well as exalted government ministers, secretaries and presidents will all simply collect taxes for sense gratification. The government is top-heavy, and without increasing taxes, the government cannot maintain itself. When taxes are collected, they are utilized for the sense gratification of the government officials. Such irresponsible politicians forget that there is a time when death will come to take away all their sense gratification. Some of them are convinced that after life everything is finished. And this atheistic theory was conceived long ago by a philosopher called Charvaka. Charvaka recommended that man should live very opulently by either begging, borrowing, or stealing. He also maintained that one should not be afraid of death. The next life, the past life, are an impious life, because after the body is burnt to ashes, everything is finished. This is the philosophy of those who are too much materially addicted. Such philosophizing will not save one from the danger of death, nor will it save one from an abominable afterlife. Vande Hum. Shri Guru. Shri Jata. Balakamala. Just like some factory worker, he has always wanted to get free from the tedious, boring, unpleasant job. So he saved up for many years for a vacation to an exotic South Pacific island. So finally, the day comes, he's heading out on his dream vacation. He's enjoying like anything. Oh wow, here I am in Tabi Uni or wherever it may be, enjoying. But then he's thinking, but oh no, another 5 days I have to head back. So even while he's enjoying, he's feeling the anxiety of knowing the enjoyment will come to an end. So that is not pure enjoyment. Pure enjoyment means there is absolutely no anxiety in the enjoyment coming to an end. Then you really enjoy it. The poor rascal, he struggled so hard, but now he can't even fully enjoy because he's worried when he's looking at his calendar. Oh no, 4 more days, I'd like to go back to the assembly line, 3 days. In this way, you see, he can't really enjoy himself. Therefore, abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna. Mamu Pachita Kontiya Unak Janmana Vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all their places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, punar janma vidyate, he never takes birth again. So whatever happiness we may try to squeeze, or these politicians have described here, may try to squeeze out of this bodily bag of three elements, mucus, bile, and air, it's always going to be an impure squeeze. You're not going to get pure happiness out of it. Because the gnawing anxiety is always there. This body will be finished today or tomorrow or the next day. By the cruel laws of the material nature, it will all be finished, wiped out. Therefore, those who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined endeavor for that purposeful end which is not obtainable by wandering from the highest planet, Brahmaloka, down to the lowest planet, Patala. They simply go after that happiness, that supreme happiness described by Rishabhadev to his sons. Brahmasau kam tvanam tam. That happiness which is in relationship between the atomic spirit soul and the supreme spirit whole, Krishna. They simply go after that happiness. Because once you connect with that happiness, then your happiness is eternal. Nothing can touch it. Nothing can touch it. No one can take it away. Nothing can take it away. It's impermeable. Nothing can penetrate it, pollute it. So this is the great mercy of the Mahajanas. These great Mahajanas are connecting us by their loving kindness with this transcendental platform, which is completely beyond the three modes of material nature. This transcendental platform where we can actually realize who we are beyond the temporary coverings, the so-called identities, which the material nature has paraded for millions of lifetimes. Like a big parade, you know. Just imagine a parade with 8,400,000 different types of floats. You see, you're watching the parade. Now here comes the aquatics, you know, Jalajana Lakshani. Here comes the 900,000 types of aquatics combined in the parade. Jalajana Lakshani, and then Stavara Laksha Vinshati, 2 million types of plants and trees. And then what is the next in line? Here comes the worms and the reptiles. Krimiya Rudra Sankhya. 1,100,000 different types of worms and reptiles come by. And then Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, and now all the birds come. You see. 1 million types of birds come in the parade. And then Trimsha Lakshani Parshava. 3 million types of beasts. And then Chatur Lakshani Manashava. Finally, the human beings come. 400,000 different species. Where are these 400,000 species? Well, we see a few here. You know, you see the Negroes and Orientals. You know, there's a Caucasian, there's a few species around here. But these 400,000 are spread throughout the entire universe. So that means there are living beings on other planets, human beings on other planets, 400,000 different types of human beings throughout the universe. So we've been dancing through these different species for millions and millions of times, going through the reincarnation wheel millions and billions of times, trying to squeeze out some pleasure from this so-called bodily enjoyment. But as I explained moments ago, deep down, everyone always knows that Bodhi's not going to last. So no one's really happy. They're just trying to get the most amount of illusory happiness that they can possibly grab, or they're getting good, or they're young and they have some energy left. Mm-hmm. But it's futile. It's completely futile. These big, big, successful materialistic persons, they have their money, they have their women, they have their prestige, they have their followers, but they don't have Krishna. So what good is it? All of this wealth, women and followers, if you don't have Krishna. All you have is a rotting body, that's all you have. And every day your power of enjoyment is going down, 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 being worn away by the inexorable wheel of time, simply worn away. Therefore, a foolish person may be carried away, but an intelligent person will not take this nonsense, material sense gratification. So what am I saying? I'm saying this planet is simply fools. Wherever we go, there's simply fools everywhere. In every country we're going, we're seeing it's the same disease. It is simply foolishness. People are running after the will-o'-the-wisp. They're running after sense enjoyment when there's really no enjoyment. Their happiness is mirage happiness. The man who is thirsty, man, he sees the water. He's so thirsty. He goes running after that water in the desert. And he runs faster, 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 saying, well, I gotta get to that water. I can't seem to get there. I'm running so fast. I must be a little further. Let me run a little harder. So what does the poor rascal do? He runs himself to death. Until he finally collapses in the sand. So that is our position in this material world. We are running after the mirage of happiness. But there is no happiness in this sense gratification. There's none. Simply maya sukaya, illusory happiness. So we require the help of guru, sadhus, and shastra to bring us out of the madness of material sense gratification, to wake us up from this stupor, this sleep in which we think we can be happy. Okay. We require the help. The Vedic wisdom is there telling us, tamasi ma jyotir dama. Do not remain in the darkness. Come to the light. And then we see there are so many great saintly teachers throughout history. So many saints on this planet now in our society, ISKCON society, there's so many saintly teachers. So we take advantage of guru and the saintly teachers and the amazing Vedic wisdom which describes everything perfectly. If we take advantage of these things, then we can actually enter that divine state of consciousness, that transcendental existence, completely beyond the pinching, disturbing influence of the three modes of material nature. What is that consciousness? Krishna consciousness. That is the name of our society also. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, all you have to do is be a good member. That's all. If you're a member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, if you're a true card, of course we don't have card. If you're a true card carrying, this is our card. We call it card carrying member saying. So this is our card carrying. We're carrying this card of Kanti Mama. If I'm a true card carrying member of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Prabhupada explains what is my mood in the Bhagavatam purport. He says a Krishna conscious being is always thinking. No, the word he uses is planning. A Krishna conscious being is always planning how to deliver all of suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. And even if he is not successful in doing so, his success is guaranteed, and anyone who follows him will also achieve that success. So if we're true Kunti Mala wearing members of the Krishna Consciousness Society, then we must be living every day, planning, scheming, thinking, doing whatever we can do to push forward this movement, to save the four souls who are drowning in forgetfulness of their actual eternal identities. This must be the mood. You see, from the moment we wake up to the moment we sleep at night, we think, these poor souls, how can they be delivered? What can I do to be a better preacher? What can I do to be more Krishna conscious so I can help people? So I can be a better preacher, a better servant of Lord Chaitanya's mission. So that these people, when they hear us preaching, they'll be attracted to join this movement, you see. How can I become a better representative? This is the mood of someone who is seriously cultivating Krishna consciousness. They are never content, lackadaisical, that, oh yes, now I'm initiated, I'm saved by Guru's mercy. All I have to do, I got my diksha, I'm chanting, I'm getting my rounds every day and following the principles. So that's all I have to worry about. That's it, business man. But wait a minute. 10 offenses. We have to learn how to become perfect in our chanting. Not this I'm chanting. Of course, some devotees don't even do that. They don't even keep their vow to chant and follow the principles. But even chanting and following the principles is not enough. We have to also avoid the 10 offenses. We have to perfect the chanting. And that's a lifetime endeavor. You keep the 16 rounds and the 4 principles going on a regular daily basis. And along with that, now you have to work on purifying yourself with Nama Purim. That's where we really make our advancement. And we see, how can I become free from all of these Nama Puras? How can I develop more faith? How can I become more respectful towards devotees? How can I, you know, understand that the name Krishna and the person Krishna are absolutely non-different, that when I meditate on the holy name of the Lord, he's actually present. So I have to understand, let me now come into the presence of the Lord, put myself in a pure, humble state, so that I can actually feel how Krishna is present, so that someday I can actually see how he is present for me. You see, we have to qualify ourselves in this way. Not just by doing my duties. You know, I offered my RT, I distributed the books, I managed the temple, I did the bookkeeping, so business is finished. No. Until we actually come to the point of pure Krishna praying, you see, we haven't finished our duty. Our duty is to come to prema. Pure Krishna bhakti, shuddha bhakti. That is our duty. So until we have two duties, we have to become pure. And what did Prabhupada tell us in Los Angeles? He said, deliver the whole world. So when I become completely pure devotee and the whole world has become Krishna conscious, now I can sit back in the life. Business finished. I become a pure devotee and now the whole world is Krishna conscious. So until that time, we have to stay very busy purifying our hearts and spreading this Krishna conscious movement. So these rascal politicians will become educated, so that the government, people in general, will not be cheated by leaders which are polluting their minds with false propaganda. We require Krishna-conscious men, and women also, who can show the pathway back to home, back to Godhead, in every sphere, in government, education, television, radio, theater, poetry, philosophy, agriculture, military, in every single sphere of the human society. We require men and women who are exemplary, who know the purpose of existence, who live the purpose of existence on a daily basis, from the moment they wake up in the morning until the moment they go to sleep at night. They're always trying to connect with Krishna and connect everyone with Krishna. So in this way, the world, whole world can become peaceful and happy. Our lives will be glorious, and the whole world will become attracted to this movement. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Guru Maharaj, Krishna possesses everything. We are small parts of Krishna, which means that we also should have this feeling that we possess everything. So where can we get this proper understanding that we have nothing if Krishna doesn't have this understanding?
Yeah. But actually Krishna, along with being, as long as saying Sarvaloka Maheshvaram, along with being the proprietor of everything, Krishna also is the supreme renunciate as well. Just imagine if some man, you see, he builds a big, huge palace with all facilities, agricultural fields, the people out there, you know, farming to make the food that everybody in the palace is eating. Oh, huge, elaborate arrangement. Now, ordinarily, a man who would make such an arrangement, he'd want to enjoy that palace, you see. But Krishna, he makes this huge arrangement and he's detached from the whole thing. He arranges this whole big material world, and all the way from Brahmaloka down to Patala, so many facilities. It's like everything, you see, within, happening within Krishna's energy. This city of Sydney, you see. There's so many facilities here, the Sydney Opera House. There's so many facilities here. Does Krishna think, well, this is my energy, I have to enjoy it? No. Along with being the supreme owner of everything, Krishna is also completely detached from everything as well. Therefore, that is one of his six opulences. He is the topmost renunciate. So, Krishna, in spite of being the owner of everything, is also more renounced from everything than anybody else is. And we should learn from them. If I am part and parcel of Krishna, I am qualitatively one with him. That means that there is that renunciation is also present within me. I have to learn how to connect with it. That spirit of renunciation is actually there in every single living entity, but it's in a dormant state right now, that's all. By this chanting process, one can reconnect oneself with one's original, natural, renounced nature. Actually, everybody is a sannyasi by nature. We just forgot it. We've been programmed to be sense enjoyers, but we're all sannyasi, actually. We just have to reconnect with that sannyasi nature within the heart. Hearing, chanting, remembering. We want opulence. Well, take the association of Krishna, you see. Make that your only opulence. Because I guarantee you, any other opulence you may accrue within this material world, it's going to all be taken away. Don't be attached to that opulence. Simply be attached to one opulence, and that's the association of Krishna. So whatever opulence you get here in this world, that must all be offered to Krishna. And the beauty of that is, the more you offer whatever opulences you have to the Lord, He'll give you more. Like the father who increases his son's allowance because the son is managing his allowance very well. That's why Prabhupada said, if Krishna counts his businessman, he can aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Because he's not attached to that opulence. He's simply using whatever comes. Now I have more to offer, engage in Krishna's service. So in this Krishna consciousness movement, we are meant to lead the whole world out of chaotic condition. So we have to be very conscientious that everything that is, all the opulences which are coming to this movement, they are all being used for Krishna, not for sense enjoyment. If we can, in that way, engage everything, Krishna will send more and more and more and more, until finally the whole world will come that now we want to follow Prabhupada's teachings. You guide us how to follow Prabhupada's teachings. Questions, Martin? Everyone satisfied now? Yeah.
I remember you once told how you were with other devotees in India at the place where Taj Mahal is.
Yeah.
And other devotees went to see Taj Mahal and
no, actually, in our group, no one went.
Well, you, but
I've never gone.
Yeah. And my question is how to maintain proper relationships in a family when, for instance, one is losing its interest to see some nice scenery, some nice buildings, some nice places, and the other one is willing to do that. So how to properly maintain these relationships?
Well, if one has children who are not really dedicated to Krishna, and they want to be, quote, normal kids of this world, you may have to facilitate them a little bit. I mean, it's part of education, actually. And I know we had one family in Austin, a very nice family, but the boy wanted to see Washington because he heard about it in school, Washington, D.C. And so they, on a long weekend, they went to Washington so he could get that part of his desire satisfied to see Washington, D.C. So certain things can be done like that. I mean, and Prabhupada said we could, in our Gurukula, we can teach the mundane, some mundane, little mundane history and geography. That can be done. And there's no harm. Even though one himself may have no interest in seeing Taj Mahal, if one is traveling with family members who are not really devotees, you can't really force them to be renounced. Say, all right, we'll go see Taj Mahal. For their sake, even though you may have no interest to see Taj Mahal, you can take them to see. And then you can tell them, just see, this is actually just a tomb. And tell them how the temple is a much better, much more significant place than a place that some king who was very attached to his queen made a fancy tomb for his queen. So what is the spiritual benefit of seeing the Taj Mahal compared to going to a temple of Krishna? And preach the difference.
But when you say in such a way, then people avoid associating with you because they say, well, there's no fun to be with you because everything...
then you're blessed by being free of mundane association.
But I'm saying about the family members. So this is...
Yeah, well... Got to strike a balance. Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't. I was just trying a happy medium in that somehow. Fiber in your position. I wouldn't be afraid to show a spirit of renunciation, because that's the greatest lesson you can give to your children. I wouldn't be afraid to do that. Because actually, you shouldn't think that renunciation is weird. If you think it's weird, they're going to think it's weird. But if you think it's cool to be renounced, they can learn from them and pick up on them. Because our position is we're renounced. We're not interested in anything in this world. And it's not weird. It's really a cool thing to be renounced. It's more cool than any amount of opulence, money, power, fame, prestige, women, or whatever it may be. To be renounced is the coolest thing you can possess, renunciation. So we can show a little renunciation to them, and they can appreciate being, even they may not feel it themselves, if they can see it in you, they can learn from that and actually develop it by your association. So I wouldn't be afraid to show a little renunciation. You should show some renunciation. You can be kind to them and facilitate them. At the same time, you should show some renunciation. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
It's great. Srimad Sankarsana Dasatyaya Maharaj ki jai.